So let's do comments, questions. I did want to clarify maybe one thing. When I said a shortcut to this is just go straight to the feeling of God's presence, I kind of said that reluctantly because, like I say, you know, even my wife, who is very spiritual, and she, that doesn't resonate with her. That doesn't, you know, and so the feeling of God's presence. Let's quickly talk about that. Is not a general objective thing that you should be having, and if you don't have it, then there's something wrong with you, because the presence of God is hugely within every one of us. And some people, just like we're all different, some people experience him in some ways, others in other ways. And to be honest, the feeling of God's presence is not God's presence. The feeling of God's presence is your interpretation of his presence in you. And so it's just that some folks have that, and it comes and goes, maybe, for others, and others don't have that. But so take my wife, she's not here, she's probably going to hear this and slap me around, but it's not that she doesn't have God's presence, it's that her, the way she's made, her interpretation of experiencing his presence is different, not lesser, but different. So it's just a great way to get going if you know that, but it's certainly not central to this method. And the reality is you want to go deeper than that even. And so that's a nice easy way for my kids, but it's not necessarily a way to stick to forever. So if hopefully that makes sense. Other comments, questions?
I think another word that you could use is awareness. Feeling awareness. Being aware of his presence. And you're cultivating that on a daily basis so that you could drop into this anytime as you become more aware. Because I think sometimes the word feel, we all have feelings, and like Rob said, you put a definition on that and it's so different for everyone. So I just think another helpful word would be awareness. You're dropping into his awareness.
You're really just trying to be in the heart. You're trying to be in the spirit. And sometimes, in fact, Thomas Keating, when he describes this method, he almost, he speaks about the sense of God's presence. He uses a different word. He uses the word spiritual consolation. And he uses it in the sense of, if you're getting that, it's probably because you really need it. But don't rely on it, and you'll grow out of it. In the sense that, again, that's just your interpretation of something much deeper that he's doing. And you'll grow with him, and what he does might not always just... Look, I had a beautiful time now. It was amazing. And Thomas Keating would say, great, yeah, Rob, that's probably because you need it. You just need to feel loved, you know? So hopefully that makes sense. We'll talk much more about these aspects. Other comments, questions, thoughts? Thanks for bringing down the average age in the group again, Stuart.
Yes, I like to do that.
Yeah. So everyone just staggered into silence. Did we lose the porters?
Well, I mean, I just kept thinking. Like, it was very hard for me to get to a place of, like, not thinking. And you might have already gone over this, so I hesitate to say this, but is the goal not to think, or is the goal to like have communion and like think with God? I guess is that, does that make sense?
Neither of those.
Neither of those.
Because you said all. So the goal is not to think. The goal, thinking is always going to happen. It's the boats on the river.
Mm-hmm.
And we practice, we're not practicing a concentrative. The only way you can stop thinking is to use your brain to concentrate on something else. And we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not trying to not think. You're trying to not engage in thoughts. You're trying to be in a different place at the bottom of the river, in the heart, in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our experience has been, many, many Christians know what that is,
mm-hmm.
but then immediately jump around between the two. Start mm-hmm. thinking about a verse or thinking about a concept. And that's great for other times, but in this practice, you don't want to engage in that.
Okay.
Because that way you can go deeper. We'll probably do this next week or the week after, where we talk about silence and stillness and why that is so powerful. And also why not engaging thoughts creates tremendous transformation in you, including inner healing.
Hmm.
So we, you know, we can't do everything at once, and we'll cover why it's so powerful to not think, but I just said you're not trying to not think, to not engage in thoughts, and more importantly, to let go of thoughts. That process of letting go of thoughts is one of the most powerful transformative things you can do.
Hmm.
And we'll cover that in other meetings. And that's because you're now getting more into this. At first, the distracting thoughts, we'll have a whole session on this, but at first the distracting thoughts are arbitrary, like what's for dinner. But actually, soon the distracting thoughts are thoughts about the deep issues of your brokenness,
mm-hmm.
including when you're thinking about God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because your brain is a very clever computer program. And so then when you don't engage, look, just in case that causes concern, let me give you an example for that.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of vulnerable about this last week. Last week I struggled, and at the beginning of this week I struggled also, because I feel responsible for this meeting because I'm leading this meeting. And so I think of you guys and things that I might say, or is everything going all right, that's going through my mind. But the reality is, because I have an unhealthy need to control things, that's happening. What God really wants is, he doesn't need me to control this meeting. He's doing stuff way better than I could even dream of doing.
Yeah.
And so as responsible and as wonderful as that might be, and it might even be dressed up with a verse that I think I should share with you guys, the real source of that is my brokenness. And so when I let that go, I'm being transformed, because I'm saying, I'm dying to myself, and I'm making space for God's presence.
I was thinking too that as you were mentioning that we kind of have this picture that who we are, our thoughts are who we are,
mm-hmm.
and if that's true, then where there's one space that we live in, and in order to have quiet in that space, you have to banish the thoughts from that space, right? But we exist on more than just our thought level. There's a deeper level, there's our heart. And so that's why thoughts can continue to happen, but you're in a different room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not turning off thoughts, you're in a different room of the house.
Exactly. You.
Do you think that it's more difficult for a woman because she's a multitasker?
I don't know. That's a wonderful question.
To be more men than women.
And I just want to say, A, I don't know, because I'm not a woman. But B, it's hard for me. And again, guys, that's why even in non-faith-based, even in secular meditation, non-directive methods are way better for you in terms of reducing anxiety, stress, health to the brain than concentrative methods, because you're not trying to not think. You're not trying to focus on a mantra or a flame to not think, which is using the effort of the mind to stop the mind, which is fine. Maybe others benefit from that. But you are going here deep into who you really are and where God is and his presence. And then the stuff that starts happening here and letting go of that stuff is transformative. But again, we're kind of jumping ahead to about 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
So I think next week we're going to do silence and why stillness and silence are core and crucial, just for those who want to ensure this is biblical, to faith and to connecting with God, but also just darn good for you. And then probably the week after that, we'll do thoughts. What types of thoughts and why the letting go of thoughts is so powerful. You know, I've had friends who've started this and they said, oh, it doesn't work. I think too much. No, that's when it is working. Is when you think too much and then you're letting go of those thoughts. That's when it is working. And let me just add to that to say, again, I think many of us here, I think few, probably you're not mostly attracted to the neurological benefits of this, even though they're very good, which is this improves your neuroplasticity, your ability to handle change, gives you a healthier brain, blah, 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 clearer, blah. You're probably not as interested in that as the spiritual element, as the life, the transformative effects, the deepening of knowledge of God. I'm sure that's why most are interested in this. But listen, you can be interested in both. On that note, one, like she says, Cynthia Bourgault, one nanosecond of silence, of letting go, is all that it takes God to transform you. It's not that, hey, I had a good session because for 20 minutes I didn't think much and I felt this awesome sweetness and I was locked in. In 1 second, in 5 seconds, something can shift. And so you can have the worst time, like distracted and unsettled and ruffled, but mm-hmm. in the middle of that you let go of something and you had 5 seconds. And zoom. Other comments, questions? I think we're almost done for the day. Okay, we are done. Is anybody got anything burning? Good. Well, then we greet you, salute you. Please stay warm, our northern friends. And our southern friends, stay cool. Cheers.
Bye.